We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on an ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. But she can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside her. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Jenna Ellis in the morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview.
The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God, our creator, not our government. I believe that scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
This is Jenna Ellis in the morning.
Good morning. Well, day two yesterday of the Democrat National Convention, or as I am calling it, the Demonic National Convention, because I think that that's actually more appropriate. It's not about democracy. It's all about communism, Marxism, paganism, with this Planned Parenthood bus that is outside the DNC that is giving abortions on demand. I mean, this is just completely... absolutely insane, and it's their policy. But last night was the second night of the DNC, and it was kind of a weird night. And you know, weird has kind of become their moniker for, you know, J.D. Vance, and they're trying to say, oh, it's, you know, he's weird, and so let's take a step back. But really, Democrats always project what they actually are. And it was just kind of weird because they're trying to have this campaign that's all about hope and joy and optimism. And we didn't really hear any of that last night. You had a couple of speakers that were prior Republicans that are somehow now supporting and endorsing the communist candidate. So clearly not actual Republicans, if Republican by definition means anything close to conservatism, which is conserving Western civilization and the Judeo-Christian worldview. So that was very interesting. And we'll get to more of that later on in the program with Mark Lauder from AFPI. But then the Obamas, as Rush Limbaugh used to call them, the Obummers, the Obamas, Barack and Michelle, took the stage, Michelle first. And, you know, again, it was just weird because they went after Donald Trump. They tried to kind of go after Joe Biden even a little bit and say, you know, the last couple of years weren't all that great. We didn't really have a lot of hope and optimism, but we're reclaiming that back now as we look to Kamala. And I'm thinking, she's been in the White House for the last 4 years as well. I mean, are you guys forgetting that? It's not like this is a totally brand new candidate with completely fresh, different ideas. This is just taking everything of the 8 years of Obama stacked onto the 4 years of Biden and accelerating this into a tearing down of the West. But of course, beyond the tearing down or the attempt to tear down of Donald Trump and his personality, and, you know, because they think somehow if they can tear down his personality, then you won't vote for him. You'll vote for Kamala, you know, who has such a sparkling personality. But of course, Michelle Obama in her speech brought in racism and sexism. And it was just sad. So let's listen to the first cut. This is cut 12.
For years, Donald Trump did everything in his power to try to make people fear us. See, his limited, narrow view of the world made him feel threatened by the existence of two hardworking, highly educated, successful people who happen to be black. That the job he's currently seeking might just be one of those black jobs.
I mean, really? That's not inspiring, I don't think, to anybody. It is divisive rhetoric. It is intentionally inflaming fear. And And it's just, it's not this joyful hope kind of campaign that they're trying to run. And she sounded like a bitter older woman. I mean, she just, it didn't come across as anything that was remotely encouraging or would fire up a base at all. And when you're talking just about race and somehow suggesting that Donald Trump, just because he's white, hates the Obamas because they're black, I mean, that's just completely ignoring how terrible the 8 years of the Obamas were in terms of policy. But the Democrats don't want to talk about policy, because if they actually start talking about policy, well, Kamala Harris can't really talk about it at all. She's going to be addressing the DNC on Thursday, and it'll be very interesting to see if she can actually use the teleprompter, how much word salad will be in there, how many pagan references and occult references she'll actually use, or if she even tries to get into policy. And they can't win on policy. So they don't really talk about it that much. And they want to just inflame the anger and the sexist, racist rhetoric, and then claim that that's what Donald Trump and all of the right are doing, when it's actually Western civilization that was built on the Judeo-Christian biblical worldview that says that all human beings are made in the image of God, have inherent dignity and worth from the moment of conception all the way until natural death, and are equal in the eyes of God. And therefore, we have no partiality. And it's all about merit. We all have the same equal opportunity to pursue the American dream, which is based on merit. You don't get to that worldview if you are a leftist, and if you are someone like Michelle Obama, who only sees things through race and gender. And so they are exposing themselves for their own worldview, which is absolutely Marxist, which is this class warfare that there is the oppressor versus the oppressed. And so Michelle Obama's entire speech really was just a matter of being a victim and trying to paint Donald Trump and the Republican Party and the entire right as the oppressors, and again, not even want to get to policy. So what about Barack Obama? Well, you know, he says that we don't need four more years of Donald Trump's first term, and this wasn't particularly inspiring either. This is Cut 11.
We do not need four more years of bluster and bumbling and chaos. We have seen that movie before. And we all know that the sequel is usually worse. America's ready for a new chapter. America's ready for a better story. We are ready for a President Kamala Harris. And Kamala Harris is ready for the job.
Bumbling and blustering. I mean, has he paid attention at all in the last 3 years to Joe Biden? Did he watch the speech at almost midnight Monday night? Has he seen Kamala Harris try to talk to reporters? I mean, bumbling and blustering is literally what we have had for the last 4 years. But of course, they can't admit that. And they have to be so down on everything. And it was just, I mean, I think the Obamers is really an apt way to describe it. So, I mean, it didn't instill hope and joy and, you know, the excitement for America that the DNC is hoping to project. But of course, again, they can't talk about policy. And this is really tragic, because there's a significant new Media Research Center poll that finds that a large majority of registered Democrats and independents who voted for Joe Biden in 2020, exactly those who would be expected to support Vice President Kamala Harris in this year's contest, this is according to Newsbusters, are mostly in the dark about how many of the controversial and radical positions Harris has taken. So they are unaware of Harris's radical policy. When asked about 10 different aspects of Harris's public record on issues as varied as her sponsorship of the Green New Deal, abolishing ICE, eliminating private health care insurance, between 71 and 86%. I mean, these are massive majorities of these Democrats and independents said they either had not heard of Harris's position or were unsure. when these voters were asked about where they got most of their news and political about political elections and candidates, by far the top answers were broadcast television, ABC, CBS, and NBC, or cable news such as CNN and MSNBC. So it's no wonder they have no idea what's going on. And according to Newsbusters, it suggests that the knowledge gaps found by our poll reveal a failure of those outlets to report on radical positions once and perhaps currently supported by the now Democrat nominee for president. So, of course, they're not talking about policy, because if you have upwards of, you know, between 71 and 86% of your own voting base that has no idea how radical and Marxist and leftist and communist your positions actually are, you don't want to tell them, because then you risk them going, you know what, maybe as much as we possibly don't like Donald Trump's personality, we actually want to keep the American experiment going, and we're probably not going to vote for the communist. And hopefully enough Democrats and independents will become aware in the next couple of months of these radical positions so that they reconsider their vote just for the black woman. Because ultimately, her race or gender does not matter. What matters is what she will do with the power of her office. And speaking of one of those really radical policies, Democrats support a plan giving citizenship to all illegal immigrants in the country. I mean, this is beyond just an open border. This is total and complete transformation of the American demographics. And this is intentionally to ensure that Democrats just continue to win elections. Because if, and as my dad says, and this was so funny, if illegal immigrants were going to vote Republican, we would already have a border wall that was as high up to the moon, right? But they know that they're trying to import votes. So Daily Wire's reporter Tim Pierce was on Morning Wire this morning talking about how extreme this Democrat platform is for making illegals citizens. Listen to this. This is Cut 14.
The Democratic platform calls on Congress to pass the U.S. Citizenship Act. It was introduced by Biden and Harris in 2021 and would essentially provide a pathway to permanent residence for millions of illegal aliens. It's very permissive. Very few crimes would exclude an illegal immigrant from eligibility. The migrant cannot have committed a felony in the past decade or three or more misdemeanors in 5 years. But that does not include immigration-related offenses, marijuana crimes, nor acts of civil disobedience. Those are okay under the act. And if the migrant has incurred multiple misdemeanor charges on one day, those are taken together to only count as one charge against their eligibility. Critics of the bill have called it a pathway to mass amnesty, but portions of the bill go even further. For instance, under the new law, migrants who enter the U.S. illegally would be offered alternatives to detention and community support instead of jail time. It would also make it illegal for a business to consider a job applicant's citizenship status in hiring. Offending employers would risk thousands of dollars in fines. Illegal immigrants who entered the U.S. as minors could become permanent residents if they graduated high school or serve in the military. Afterwards, they would be eligible to work for Congress and receive federally backed mortgages.
This is absolutely insane. And what Democrat voters, at least the rational ones who still care about this country and care about America being a sovereign nation and actually having a border instead of just allowing anyone to come, employers can't, you know, look at their citizenship and transforming a way for criminals to become citizens. These people rationally should not vote for the Democrat candidate if they care about America, if they care about any, not just traditional values. I mean, we're not even talking about the social issues. If they just care about America maintaining her sovereignty. I mean, the U.S. Citizenship Act, and this is still according to the Daily Wire, would permanently increase family-sponsored and employment-based immigration. The 352-page U.S. Citizenship Act, which has no Republican co-sponsors, essentially creates a pathway by which all 10 million illegal immigrants in the country are allowed to permanently reside here. And vote. I mean, that's what they want. They want to fundamentally transform America. So this isn't just about, you know, hating on Trump. This isn't about the race and gender of the candidate. No, no, no. Ask the Democrats. And if Kamala Harris actually has to stand in front of any reporters, I hope that they are actually reporters and not activists. And they ask her about her radical agenda, her Marxist, leftist, views that want to not only tear down Western civilization, but literally transform America with not just a porous border, but allowing for the fundamental transformation and basically great replacement of the constitution of our citizenship here. This is what is at stake at this election. This is the worldview difference. So we'll be right back with more here on Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Danny, the baby just rolled over for the first time. Oh, what a strong little boy.
That a boy, son. You're on your way.
Aww,
rollovers can be milestones in life, some early on and some later. One rollover you might consider is from your individual retirement account to a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. If you'd like to increase your retirement income and leave an impactful gift to the work of American Family Association, the charitable gift annuity is a worthwhile option. To learn more, contact the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345, or email foundation@afa.net. If you own an IRA, would like to increase your charitable giving, but need retirement income, the IRA to CGA rollover may be for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. Well, let's take a pause from the demonic national convention and turn to what is going on in the Middle East with our good friend Joel Rosenberg, who is the editor-in-chief of All Israel News. You can find that at allisrael.com. And Joel, you are back in Israel, is my understanding. So give us an update since, you know, we've been so focused kind of on American politics here. What is currently going on in the Middle East?
Yeah, great to be with you, Jenna, and it's great to be back here in Israel. I was traveling through the United States for 2 months speaking on behalf of All Israel News and the other ministry that my wife and I founded 18 years ago, the Joshua Fund, that raises money to do humanitarian relief and strengthening the local church here in Israel and among the Palestinians and other Arab countries, trying to brief people on what's happening. Being back here, I'll tell you, we cut our trip short because 24 airlines, international airlines, have shut down all flight operations in and out of Israel. Why? Because Iran and Hezbollah are threatening a massive, I would say, arguably apocalyptic missile attack any moment. Israelis are stocking their bomb shelters afresh. Many are canceling summer vacation plans. Others are returning, like we did, back to the country to be with our people as we face these threats. Now, it's been about 3 weeks or so since Iran started making these threats. And let's be clear why. Israel has had a huge series of major victories against our enemies over the last month or two. Okay, we assassinated the top Hamas military chief, Mohammed Def, in Gaza about a month and a half ago. That was huge because Mohammed Def was the guy who is one of the two people that planned and trained and masterminded the Hamas forces to invade Israel on October 7th of last year. So that was a huge victory to take out the number two guy in the whole organization. Then Israel assassinated the number two guy in Hezbollah, the Iranian terror organization army in Lebanon. And that was an airstrike in the actual bedroom, the apartment of a man, Fuad Shukr, who was the number two guy, the military chief of staff of Hezbollah, in his apartment in Beirut, in the heart of the Hezbollah-based community. Then the next day, Israel hasn't taken credit for this one, but I'll just be candid about that. But no one else is taking credit either. Israel assassinated the top number one leader of Hamas, Ismail Haniyeh, in what's the Iranian equivalent of the Blair House, you know, the official guest house that the White House uses, the official guest house of the Iranian government, was hosting the top terrorist leader in the world, Ismail Haniyeh, the head of Hamas, and Israel, or somebody, assassinated Haniyeh there the day after Haniyeh met with the supreme leader of Iran and attended the inauguration of the new Iranian president. These were three huge victories. There's others. I won't go over the whole list, but it's been big. And now Iran's leadership and Hezbollah is threatening a massive revenge. And the supreme leader said the other day, the supreme leader of Iran said that Iran itself, the Iranian people and government, would suffer divine wrath if they didn't retaliate. So we are on the highest possible alert here, and we need Christians praying. I think God has thwarted Iran and Hezbollah from launching this attack so far, and I think it's the result of the prayers of millions of Christians around the world, but we can't stop.
And what a great encouragement for Christians around the world and here in the United States to be praying for Israel, for the peace and safety of the nation. And this is the top story on allisrael.com. The headline is "Waiting Period for Iran's Attack on Israel Could Be Long," says the IRGC general. That's the Iran Revolutionary Guards, and announced on Tuesday that the attack could be delayed even further. Is this odd that that the spokesperson for the IRGC is actually announcing this? I mean, you would think strategically that they would want to keep Israel in fear.
Well, yes, right. So if people go, I hope people will, and I appreciate you drawing their attention to allisrael.com, because this is Israeli and Palestinian Christians who are providing credible and original news and analysis from the epicenter on what's happening. And if you scroll down, I don't know, I'm not in front of it right now, but maybe five or six stories, you'll get the top story from yesterday, which was my column about, you know, is it that God himself is stopping and thwarting Iran and Hezbollah from launching this attack? And I walk through what would be the reasons why Iran and Hezbollah haven't launched this massive attack yet. And part of it may be that they want to just let lots of time and fear affect Israeli psychology as well as our economy, right? And with two dozen or so international airlines, including United, shutting down all operations in and out of Israel, that has an effect on our economy. It has an effect on our people. It does. There's a number of other reasons. For all the mistakes the Biden-Harris administration are making vis-a-vis Israel and Iran. One of the good things that Biden did was order a U.S. aircraft carrier strike group back into the Middle East to signal to Iran, don't attack. But I don't think any of these reasons suffice. Maybe Iran is just needs extra time to plan. But I think there's also the fear that a massive attack on us would be an excuse for the Israeli government to launch a massive, unprecedented attack on Iran, as well as Hezbollah, to take out Iran's nuclear bases, nuclear forces. We don't believe they have nuclear weapons yet, but the facilities that are creating all this enriched uranium, Israel has wanted to take those things out and have an excuse to do it for a long time. But it might not just be those targets. Israel could also theoretically strike Iran's oil production and refinery and shipping facilities, which would devastate Iran's economy. Another success, for example, of Israel in recent days is there was a massive cyber attack on the banking system of Iran. And Israel hasn't taken credit for it, but do you think the Biden-Harris administration is launching cyber attacks against Iran's banks? Now, I don't think that's plausible. I guess it's possible, but I don't think it's plausible. So for all of these reasons, Iran actually may be hesitating, fearing that this, even if they do launch a massive attack, it could invite Israel's wrath, and Israel has far more firepower than our enemy. But our enemies have a lot of firepower, Jenna. I don't want Christians or any others listening to your program to be in any doubt of the amount of damage that could be done. We just literally purchased, and many of our All Israel News team senior leadership have now purchased generators and fuel, for example, to allow us hopefully keep reporting if the electrical grid is taken out here in Israel, or if the telecommunications grid. We've all purchased satellite phones for ourselves and our colleagues. Like the possibility that Hezbollah launches 150,000 missiles pointed at us, but you know, even if they only fired 10,000 or 20,000 or 50,000, this would overwhelm almost certainly Israel's multi-layered missile defense systems, which are the best in the world. But there is a point that you can overwhelm them. I would guess. I'm not a military expert, but so. That's why we need God to supernaturally thwart and confuse our enemies. And in that column, I'll just say I lay out three different biblical examples when people were praying in Israel because they knew an attack by the enemy was coming, and God thwarted them. And they're very interesting examples. Just one of them is the whole story of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, where there was a vast army, the text says, that was coming, right, from the country we now call the Kingdom of Jordan. And Israelis were scared, the text tells us. And so they turned to prayer. They turned to worship. They turned to seeking the God of Israel. And the God of Israel decided to stop the attack. And it's a pretty dramatic story. You obviously can read about it in the scriptures. I cite a number of the passages in my column. And that's just one of three examples. There are many, but I chose three for my column because I want to encourage Christians. Look, God is not just neutral and sitting on the sidelines. The Bible describes God as the God of Israel. And doesn't mean he agrees with everything Israelis are doing, don't get me wrong, or the fact that most Israelis don't know God personally. They don't read God's word, the Bible, and they don't know his son, Jesus, known as Yeshua in Hebrew. Those are some major problems. But God is drawing us to him by showing us his kindness. And this is a time for Christians around the world, especially in America, to understand what's really happening here, why it matters, and how Christians can play an active role in defending the nation of Israel and, by the way, the Palestinians by praying, by believing that prayer is powerful. And that's a big educational mission of All Israel News as well as the Joshua Fund.
So well said. Joel Rosenberg, who's the editor and chief of All Israel News. You can find that at allisrael.com, my special guest this morning with this update. And I think I love how you point back to the examples in scripture, because Christians need to not forget that this is still the nation of Israel, where God still in his covenant and the Abrahamic covenant still applies to the nation of Israel. This is the same nation as the Old Testament and all the way through the New, and now with the coming back together and the restructuring of Israel, as was foretold in Scripture. I mean, this God is still active, not only in the lives of every Christian, but also in the nation of Israel. And we should be praying for the nation of Israel, and Christians support Israel in terms of the land, because we understand the Abrahamic covenant and the covenants of God are unilateral. They are forever, and God has not rescinded that. And so we need to see this through the lens of Scripture. And I would really encourage everyone to go and read that column at allisrael.com. And so, Joel, with this potential imminent attack, with everything that is going on, how are the people that you speak to routinely there in Israel, what is their overall sense of what's going on here? I mean, obviously, the Christians there in Israel have a very different view and are praying and have a view of God's sovereignty. But overall, right. I mean, is there hope or what are you experiencing?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jenna, and I really appreciate that. That's a nuanced question. And I would say, absolutely, the believers here, the believers who know Jesus personally and love him and worship him, have a great sense of hope and a great sense of confidence that the God of Israel, again, isn't neutral and he isn't asleep and he hasn't abandoned us, that he's letting some of these things happen in fulfillment of the prophecies of Amos 9, chapter 9, verse 9 of Amos, where God says, I will shake the whole house of Israel among the nations. Why would he say that? Why? Because God often in our lives and in our country shakes us to wake us up if we're asleep spiritually or we're drifting spiritually or we just don't understand that we have a God who loves us and wants us to know him personally and forever in eternity. And I think God is shaking America right now. I think God is shaking much of the world. He's certainly shaking Ukraine and Russia and other countries, but he is definitely shaking Israel and our neighbors in order to draw us to himself. Now, in terms of people who don't yet know the Lord, they feel shaken. But I think there is a sense of resilience. There is a sense of resilience. I think people who aren't even particularly religious or spiritual here in Israel don't believe that God has prophetically reconstituted the sovereign nation state of Israel in 1948 and are bringing us here by the millions from all over the world out of exile back to the land of our forefathers in order to kill us all, right? So, like, even people who aren't religious think, I think we have a real purpose in this country. But if you don't know the Lord personally, it is very difficult to maintain hope and courage and optimism when you see Israel under attack from almost every possible direction. We're being attacked by Hezbollah in Lebanon. We're at war with Hamas in Gaza. We're being attacked by the Houthi terrorists in Yemen. We're being attacked directly from Iran. We were in April, and we expect to be any day. But we're also being attacked in the media, right? And we're being attacked at the UN, and we're being attacked by many in the Democratic Party right now. We're unfortunately also being attacked by some on the right wing of the American conservative movement. You see Candace Owens unleashing just horrible anti-Semitic tirades against Jewish people, against Israel. She was once a darling of the right wing. I think she's really gone someplace deeply unhealthy and dangerous, and I think she needs to be called out for it. She is by some people, and I think others need to. Kanye West, a huge influencer, has done multiple anti-Semitic rants over the past year after claiming to become a Christian just a couple of years ago. So there are some real concerns, and obviously what we're seeing in Chicago is part of it, but it's not the only element. But Israelis feel very embattled and very alone, and that's why it's morally, biblically, ethically incumbent on people who know the God of Israel and know his son, Jesus, to stand with Israel. It doesn't mean we don't have compassion for the Palestinians. We absolutely do and must. I'm in direct contact with Palestinian Muslims and Christians to encourage them, to love them, to bless them. Being pro-Israel doesn't mean being anti-Palestinian. That's very important for people to understand. But God does have a specific and unique plan for Israel. And Christians need to understand it biblically and then act on it practically. And one of the things you can do is by becoming a free subscriber. By the way, it's free to subscribe to our daily news updates at All Israel News by email. You'll get all the updates in the morning, U.S. time. If this is a great way to just be updated on what's really happening, not just news, but a biblical worldview analysis of what's happening. Similar to what you're doing, Jenna, on news in the United States, we're doing on the news from Israel and the region every single day.
Well, that's such a great compliment to us at AFR to be in your league at all, Joel Rosenberg. And we are praying for you. And this is really the bottom line, that if you are someone who has your hope in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then you will be praying for the future security of your country. If that is Israel and you are facing these imminent physical attacks, you pray for the safety and security of your people and your nation. Here in the United States, we're facing an ideological attack and the attempted tearing down of Western civilization and transformation of our country. We need to be praying for the future and the security of our nation as well, from all of these people who would attempt to thwart God's ultimate plan. But we know he is sovereign. He is still on his throne. Joel Rosenberg, really appreciate your report. We'll be right back with more here on Jenna Ellis in the Morning. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for an entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. And joining me now is Mark Lauder, who is the Chief Communications Officer for the America First Policy Institute. And Mark, good morning. I want to go back to the DNC for a moment because, you know, we've been talking about how on this program for the last few weeks. And I think what is so important to emphasize heading into November is not this, you know, personality clash or the focus on race or gender that the Democrats would like, but ultimately the policy. And, you know, it's interesting looking at Barack Obama. I mean, he's almost campaigning for Donald Trump by saying we don't need four more years of bluster and bumbling in chaos. That seems to have described Joe Biden's and Kamala Harris's administration. So let's talk about the policy differences here.
Yeah, no, it's really remarkable, Jenna. Good morning, by the way, that I would say the Harris campaign, but definitely on display in Chicago. I described it as the Seinfeld campaign. I mean, it's a show about nothing. They're running all on vibes and joy, but not actually talking about solutions to the problems that Americans are facing, whether it's sky-high gas and grocery bills, the crisis at the southern border, whether it's the wars that are raging in the Middle East and in Europe. None of those things are on display. And when you do hear them even try to maybe dip a toe into talking about policy, they're talking about things they'll do on day one. Well, I got news for you, Kamala. You're there now. You are in the White House right now. Joe's off on vacation. Who knows what he's doing? You're there. Why do we have to wait?
Yeah, and that's such a great question because she's talking about, you know, all of these things that she wants to do. And, you know, if you put me into office, I'll do this. Well, she's literally in office right now. And Joe clearly isn't in control of anything and hasn't been for a while and is the bumbling, mumbling, chaotic president and probably just a president in name only right now in terms of title. And so yet no one has been able to ask her because as of today, it has been a solid month since she has done any sort of press conference or taken questions from reporters. And I think it's pretty clear why she will have no answers.
Well, and that was on display last Friday when she announced her so-called economic plan. I mean, it was panned by the Washington Post editorial board. It was panned by CNN. It was ridiculed by the former top economic guy for Barack Obama. I mean, when you can't get those people on board with your socialist government price controls that have never worked anywhere, when you try to think the answer for home ownership problems is to give away government money that we don't have. The answer that people want is, why don't we deal with the inflation, lower interest rates, which will lower mortgage rates and allow more people to afford a mortgage and rent and to buy their homes? And in the meantime, again, completely failing economics if we have a housing shortage, which I think everyone agrees, regardless of party, we agree that there is a housing shortage. Inviting 12 million illegal immigrants into the country to then suddenly need a place to live, whether it's to rent or to buy, the law of supply and demand says it's going to make stuff more expensive. It's just completely nonsense.
And what was really interesting, Mark Lauder, with all of these leftist leaning, to put it very mildly, outlets that are panning Kamala Harris's plan, a lot of the conservative response, or the response on the Republican right, was saying, well, maybe Kamala won't actually be their nominee. There was this kind of rumor going around social media for a while that, you know, they're going to stage another coup and she's not going to be the nominee. I mean, obviously that's not happening. She accepted the nomination in a video statement last night. She had already been installed by the Voice vote because they didn't actually want any debate on the floor over all of that. And, you know, she didn't earn any of those delegates. But what do you think is the reason for these leftist outlets actually criticizing the Democrat candidate? I mean, are they finally perhaps waking up and saying, well, wait a minute, this is not actually a good idea for me and my family, much less for the United States?
Well, I think part of it is that, you know, they don't have anything else. They can't run on their record. And so she's just dipping into her Marxist socialist background to try to pull out these ideas. And obviously she's doing it on short notice because she just became the nominee a month ago. But take a look at the Democrat national platform that was approved on Monday. Yes, I get it. It said Joe Biden's second term like 19 times. And that's hilarious because they're so lazy they can't even like copy edit. But I'm more concerned that multiple times in that document, it talks about support for the USA Citizenship Act, which, of course, like most things, sounds amazing, sounds great. But when you look at the details, Jenna, it actually requires the federal government to pay to go find illegal immigrants deported by Donald Trump and bring them back to the United States at taxpayer expense so they can be given amnesty. This is the largest amnesty bill ever. It would even prevent deporting people who have been convicted of felonies. That's how radical and crazy these ideas are. And they're hoping that people won't notice it. They're hoping that the mainstream media can just keep talking about joy, and that will be enough to carry her through. But I'll tell you something, Kamala Harris came out of the gate really strong in 2019. She had a great launch. She jumped up to the lead. But as she started talking and as people started actually paying attention, she didn't even make it to actual 2020. She dropped out before the Iowa caucuses. And the same thing is going to happen. We're already starting to see the polls start to move back to where they were. And that's because they know Kamala Harris. I mean, she's like the Doritos that she loves. I mean, she's empty calories, might be satisfying for a moment, but it's not sustainable.
Yeah, really well said. And I mean, and if people actually look at what is in the Democrat platform, if they look at what is actually in this proposed legislation, if they actually look at Kamala Harris's policies and the record of the Biden administration, I mean, what Donald Trump has consistently pointed out, which I think that anyone rational cannot say that they are better off economically or in any way from where they were during the 4 years of Donald Trump. I mean, of course, the COVID pandemic aside, as a historic event that just devastated the economy, that was his best point to run on in 2020. And, you know, my personal view on that was all intentional. But these types of things, I cited a poll earlier in the program, Mark Lauder, that that says that the vast majority of Democrats and independent voters are unaware of Harris's radical positions because somehow they're successfully running on, you know, the black woman card and this joy and this, you know, kind of geeky, weird looking, you know, Tim Walz just kind of getting up there, kicking his foot and going, ha ha ha, you know, and nobody is getting into the substance. So meanwhile, Kamala Harris has now backed out of a Fox News debate. Do you think that we're even going to see any debates between her and Donald Trump?
Well, I think there will be the one debate. I think it's scheduled on ABC because she knows that she can't even hide that long. And, you know, she's going to have at least one direct comparison with Donald Trump. And if she feels like she can come to a draw, she will consider that to be a win. And look, she's a good debater. I mean, she's a former prosecutor, and she's been in politics a long time, but she's not insurmountable. I mean, Mike Pence beat her on the debate stage, except the fly stole the show. So she's not unbeatable on a debate stage, but it's going to require talking about policy. It's going to require talking about the actual specifics, because she can't do it. She will talk about, you know, she tries to feel their pain, and she's got a history of doing this stuff, but she's not going to talk about the fact, and she hasn't, that she's the reason why gas and groceries went up. She was the tie-breaking vote on the inflation or the American Rescue Plan, which former Obama Treasury Secretary Lawrence Summers said, if you pass this, you're going to cause inflation. They ignored it. She cast the tie-breaking vote, and 2 months later, inflation is out of control. She's to blame for that. She was the border czar. All of these things fall on Kamala Harris's plate, and I don't honestly believe that as we get in the next 77 days or so, that the American people are really going to hire the person who broke it to fix the mess that she created.
Well, let's hope that enough voters, regardless of party and partisanship, understand the worldview and policy distinctions and what is actually at stake in this election. And so Donald Trump has brought in Tulsi Gabbard, who very famously took the wind out of Kamala Harris's sails during the 2019 debates and just absolutely demolished Kamala Harris's record. I think that's a very smart move on his part. And I personally just really like Tulsi Gabbard as well. I think that that's a good move. She has a lot to bring to the table there. What is your advice to Donald Trump heading into that debate? We saw a very different version of him that kind of just stepped back and let Biden show how terrible he is. Do you think that that's the same type of strategy he should employ if they only get one debate?
Well, it's a little bit different because obviously you could stand back and watch Biden self-destruct. Kamala will not do that from a mental standpoint. But I don't believe she'll be able to make the connection about why she broke it, then she should be hired to fix it. And so if Donald Trump can, you know, and he will do it in his own way. There will be the verbal jabs and there will be all of that kind of stuff, but avoid the non-policy stuff. If he focuses on the fact that people can't afford gas and groceries because of Kamala Harris, the border is wide open because of Kamala Harris, the Biden-Harris administration has walked away from support of Israel. When you look at the anti-Semitic, anti-American, pro-terrorist rallies that are taking place right now in Chicago or in Washington, D.C., or on college campuses, and remind people that that's the Democrat Party. There's no one out there wearing MAGA hats. They're out there that they are part of the radical, woke left. And the only way to change that is to change course. And if he can stay on those kinds of messages, and I'm sure he'll get his jabs in, but keep it focused on the policy, keep it focused on people's current situations, then you win it hand down because she doesn't have answers to it.
Yeah, so well said, and I agree with that advice, and I think it would be the best for the American people and for the voting electorate as a whole to have a debate that's not just about these jabs and personality differences or, you know, the nicknames like Barack Obama referred to last night. I mean, who cares, right? I mean, none of that ultimately cares. This isn't WWE. This isn't for entertainment. I mean, this is ultimately what is going to affect and drive policy for the next 4 years, and the American people need to really understand the differences between these two candidates, not just their personality. So Mark Lauder, really appreciate your time this morning. You can follow him on X. He's the Chief Communications Officer for the America First Policy Institute. And in just the last couple of minutes on the show, I want to let you all know that the American Family Association is going back to the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter. And we still have some spots open for October 31st to November 2nd. And the trip includes a lot of transportation to the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter from the hotel, lunch for both days of the the tour, special presentation by Answers in Genesis, and special presentation at the Ark by Answers in Genesis speakers, so much more. You can register at afa.net/events and click on AFA at the Ark. So that's afa.net/events. You can click on AFA at the Ark. Registration closes on October 3rd. So even though we are looking toward November, you can maybe, you know, take a weekend and get away from politics before you go and exercise your constitutionally protected right to vote as an American citizen. And we want to make sure that we keep just American citizens voting. But again, those dates are October 31st to November 2nd. And it's AFA at the Ark, afa.net/events. We are already out of time for this morning and, you know, kind of looking forward to, but not really, another night tonight at the Demonic National Convention. We will break it down tomorrow morning. And Kamala Harris coming up on Thursday night. So you can always reach me and my team, Jenna at AFR.net.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.